Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. News Talk 830 WCCO. Mike Max taking you up to 3 o'clock. Then Paul and Jordana will have it from over at the Timberwolves at the at our Skyway studio. So it should be good. Timberwolves taking on Cleveland tonight in the home opener. Joining us now, Senator Karen Housley, who is running, of course, for U.S. Senator, and we're going down the stretch. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike. I always love talking to you.
What's it now? How is the game different as you move on? It seems like there's different stages. I always give analogies to sports, but to seasons. And now we're in the stretch run, so to speak. How is it different today for you in campaigning versus when you first declared yourself?
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. I jumped in January, and it was a lot different then than it is right now. We are in the home stretch. This is the Stanley Cup Finals, and we are at like Game 5. So it's all hands on deck, and we're a well-oiled machine over here at the campaign headquarters. And it's still just we are just running all over the state, making sure we can meet absolutely everybody we can on the campaign trail, and then tell them what we're about and get their votes. So that's pretty much what we're doing for the next 18 days.
So for the next 18 days, how do you differentiate yourself from Senator Tina Smith, or has that already been established and now you're just trying to drive the point home?
It was established from the day we jumped in. We are two completely different people. She's been a career politician, a political operative behind the scenes her whole career. And I've been a small business owner, and I've served in the state legislature. So people can vote for, you know, a career politician who just obstructs at every turn. That's what Tina Smith has been doing while she's been in Washington, or a new voice, somebody new in Washington, D.C., who really has represented the people and worked across the aisle and got things done.
Take me back to when you decided to get into politics. There's an interesting article written in the Star Tribune. You turned, after you got done with everything that you were doing in real estate at that particular check, you had $4 left in your checking account, and you happened to run into your neighbor, Stanley Hubbard, a competitor here, but people know who he is, of course, KSDP fame, and he encouraged you to get into politics. Take me through that, what happened and what's happened since in your life, how it's changed your life.
It was 2010, and I was so frustrated with where our state and country were going. And I did. We were in the housing recession, and I have a real estate business both in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And I was putting that big check in the mail that I'd written out to the government. And Stanley Hubbard was walking by, and I told him, Stan, I feel like the government is trying to put all of us small businesses out of business with their over-regulating and their taxes. I hadn't spent any time with my family or cooked a meal in years, and now I'm working for no dollars. And he said, well, I have a better idea, Karen. Don't close up your shop or your business. I think you should run for the state senate. I was like, Stanley, I don't even know who my state senator is, because I was not very political. I was a mom and a business owner, and you're so busy getting kids to hockey practice or dance competition and orthodontist and dentist appointments and church that I didn't pay much attention to politics, but I knew I had to do something. And to help save our small businesses and our job creators, I jumped in and ran for the state Senate. So that was my, and I lost, Mike, but I lost by 1%, and I ran again in 2006 or 12, and I won by 1%, and I represent the Stillwater Forest Lake area. That's a swing district. So I worked really hard for everybody, not just the people that voted for me, but the Democrats and the independents, and even those who didn't vote. And when I ran again in 2016, it felt really good to have won by 25%. So I know I was doing a good job in the Minnesota Senate, and I want to do that same thing in the United States Senate.
Sometimes we learn more in losing than we do in winning, and obviously, you've lived professional sports for a lot of your life as well with your husband. But did you, what did you learn from losing that first time?
You know what? I really learned how to run a campaign. I didn't know. I hadn't even done school board or city council. So I really learned how to run a campaign and get volunteers and sign locations and raise money and what the message was. So I really learned that. And I knew our message was right. It was just crafting it and getting used to being a candidate. And I couldn't not run again because I thought it was good to show the kids, my kids, with Phil and I have four kids. We've been married for 33 years. I thought it was good to show them, you know, you don't always win, but it doesn't mean that you quit. And it was so good to win the second time to show that you can win after you're defeated. And it's no fun losing, whether it's sports or politics. But it doesn't mean that that's the end of the road, that you can pick yourself back up and do it again. And I did.
Were you close to not running again after that first experience?
No, I was not. I mean,
because you got to stop and meditate on it a little bit, right? And say, is this for me or not, right?
Yep. It was. You're pretty deflated at that point. I remember picking up my signs, and we had snow on the ground, and I was picking the signs up myself. And you know, you've got the tears in your eyes, and people are going by and honking and waving, and it's like, oh, I felt like I had disappointed so many people because you were working for them, really. But I just continued that work, and it paid off. And then to really have the validation that the people of my district really did like what I was doing. And so I want to do that same thing in the United States Senate. People are so frustrated with the partisanship and the extremism and the arguing and the fighting, and they're not getting anything done. That's what I want to go there to do, is to really get good things done for the people here in Minnesota.
Do you think that partisan politics makes it difficult to reach across the aisle for either party?
It does for a lot of people. It makes it difficult because I think the problem in politics is politicians don't like to listen. They like to take their agenda and force it on the people who they're representing. And that's not how politics is supposed to work. We are supposed to listen to the people in our districts and whatever walk of life they come from and whatever letter they have behind their name. Because most issues don't have a letter. They're not Democrat or Republican issues. And I've never had a problem working across the aisle with the other side to get things done. And healthcare costs is one of those things. That's not a Republican or Democrat issue. We have really got to figure out a way, and I'm going to work hard on it, to make healthcare more affordable for the people here in Minnesota. That's not a partisan thing. That is, let's get this done. So that's what I'm going to do, Mike, next when I get to the United States Senate.
Do you think that that has become such a hot-button issue that it's easier to have nonpartisan or bipartisan support for it because everybody realized we're at such a crisis mode on it?
Well, and my opponent, Tina Smith, is making it very partisan, and she wants this single-payer health care, which is not affordable and it doesn't work. It's really taking away the people of Minnesota's choice. And you have one choice then, and it's called the government. It's government-run healthcare, and it doesn't work. I lived in Canada for 9 years under that socialized government-run healthcare system, and it's bad. It sounds great when you're healthy and you get free healthcare, but when you're sick, you get in line, and hopefully you can get treatment before something really bad happens. And I saw really bad things happen to both somebody in my family and to other people up there. They would love to come to the U.S. for the choices that we have in healthcare. So Tina's making it very partisan, just a one-stop shop, single-payer healthcare when that's not the way we need to go to decrease the costs for the people in Minnesota.
And I don't mean to be a novice at healthcare. I understand a little bit of it. But ultimately, we're going to pick up the tab for whoever goes into the hospital in Minnesota, whether they've signed up or it's affordable, or if they don't have insurance, we're still going to make sure that they get health care. With that in mind, is there anything that can really make this affordable?
Oh, absolutely there is. And, you know, we had a really good affordable health care programs and insurance here in Minnesota before the Affordable Care Act, which turned out to be not Affordable Care Act because our premiums and our deductibles have doubled and tripled. But we had a really good system here in place 8 years ago, and we could keep our people with pre-existing conditions on our insurance. We had a program called MCHA, and it covered them. And we kept our kids on our insurance till 25 back then, too. So we had something really good, and we have to get that back. And to do that, we need to increase competition. We need to be able to buy health insurance across state lines like we buy our car insurance. And a 55-year-old man doesn't need the same insurance as a 25-year-old female. So we have to increase competition because that is the only thing that's going to drive costs down.
When you serve Stillwater, Forest Lake, that area, obviously that's one bubble. When you go throughout the state, do you find that people have the same concerns everywhere, or is it different than the neighborhoods you grew up in, so to speak?
Well, the two big concerns are get something done. They're so sick and tired of politicians fighting and not getting anything done. That's number one. Number two is health care. That is the biggest issue on the minds of people, because anything that they are saving with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is being taken away because of their health care costs. But different areas of the state is different when it comes to up on the Iron Range. They are so frustrated with the Democrats not getting those mines open and have killed jobs up there. Those residents and those towns want the mines open to create the jobs. And we can have both clean water and mining. And then there's the rural areas, the farmers. They've got the issues with the trade and immigration. Those are big issues to them. And the president is getting a lot done when it comes to trade with renegotiating NAFTA to the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. So he is getting things done, and the farmers are all on board. So those different areas do have different concerns when I'm traveling across the whole state.
When they talk about the blue wave or the red wave, that it could go, you know, momentum is a strange thing. If he got a deal done with China that people found acceptable, including the farmers, before the election, would that be huge for any Republican running for office in this country?
Oh, absolutely. And he's taken some real steps to get that done. Just getting the Mexico-Canada agreement done and now putting the pressure on China. And they want to come to the table. China is, and the president is saying, hang on, you know, we've got to make it a little bit tougher here because we want more. And trade has been unfair for so, so long that the farmers are so happy that they have a president who is putting their issues at the forefront of negotiations and getting it done. So if he could get the China deal done before the election, it would be huge. But I think even the steps that he has taken has been really, really good. And I'm telling you, Mike, the media makes it sound like there is a blue wave, and I am not feeling it anywhere. I am feeling really strong support for my campaign and being a new voice for Minnesotans and for the Republicans across the ticket. They are really, really excited to continue what we have going on with jobs being with the lowest unemployment in 50 years, the economy growing at 4.2%. People are very, very excited about the way things are going in our state and our country.
Yeah, I've often thought, I give Minnesota a lot of respect for this, that we're pretty independent here. And when Tim Pawlenty was elected governor at the same time Barack Obama was elected president, I said, that means that people are they're thinking through these things. They're kind of independent about the way that they see things. I think that's a good thing.
It's funny because Minnesotans vote different than anybody else in the country. And part of that is because in other states, you actually have to register as a Democrat or a Republican. So mm-hmm. people usually stay in their lane. And I like how we have it in Minnesota. We do. And I even tell my own kids, you know, be independent and look at the candidate and look at what their issues are and what they have done, who they are as a person, and vote that way. So Minnesotans, they just keep their cross-ticket balloters and they'll vote for a Republican for the United States Senate and maybe a Democrat for Congress. They're all over the place, which is absolutely fine. And I'm proud of that Minnesotans actually are independent thinkers and actually do think. We are so proud to vote. We have the highest voter turnout in the country. And I like the way that people do their research before they go to the polls.
Karen, thank you for giving us some time today in a busy schedule. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mike. Call anytime. Enjoy the sun.
Yeah, well, we got it.
Have a great day. See you later. Right.
Karen Housley, running, of course, for U.S. Senate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.